All right. Let's do it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast. Whoa, whoa, whoa! Yeah, yeah, yeah! Riffing with Griffin! Whoa, 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 whoa! Yeah, yeah, yeah! What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Riffin' with Griffin. We're doing it live once again. Day of. Lot to talk about today. So please keep the trolling to a minimum. But I'm glad that you're here and watching with me. And I appreciate it. So, you know what? Let's just get to the damn thing. Yes. So thank you for being here. You know, you got your woo-woos and all that kind of stuff. And I'm excited to do it like this. I'm always trying new things. And I usually release the podcast today. So I said, hey, let's do it live on the day of that the podcast comes out. So when I finish with this, I got to get right to the uploading it to the audio part of it. But for right now, we're right here. I am going to be looking at the chat as much as I can. But, you know, please keep your nonsense to a minimum. You know what I'm saying out there, but we're here. But listen, of course, I have a lot to talk about today. I'll give my thoughts on everything that has happened in the past week. But before I do that, I have to take a moment. See, damn. You know, I told myself I wasn't going to get emotional. It's just so weird how it's hitting me right at this very moment. But I do want to say RIP to Jeff Scott. Sorry. He was the piano player at the Comedy Store, and he died. I don't even know why. Anyways, damn. Look, I'm sorry. I'm not even trying to be like this. I was just fine. I was just singing. I don't even know why it's like this right now, but it just hit me hard. And it's because he was a good dude. He really was. He was like a staple at the Comedy Store. He was the piano guy. Every time he went up, always positive. You know, and it just hit me because it's like because of everything that's going on with the pandemic. And now you're sitting at home and you're thinking to yourself, who have I not seen? You know what I mean? Like, who of your friends and your family that, like, you haven't hit up? Good grief. What is... Look at me. Damn. Just a blubbering-ass baby right now. Ugh. I swear to God I wasn't emotional a second ago. And all of a sudden... Anyways. All right, woosah. All right, anyways. Let me get myself together here. You know, you're sitting at home right now because of this pandemic, and we can't go out. We can't go to restaurants. We can't go to movies. We can't go to places. I can't go to, like, the Comedy Store, a place that has been, like, home to me, like, where I get to, like, commune with, like, like-minded individuals. I get to see friends, enemies, frenemies, and we're just all in this hallway with, like, you know, our jealousies and our envy and our friendships and all these things. You know, and it's like it all got taken away. And then, you know, so I never thought in my head that there are certain people, let me get another Kleenex, certain people that I'd never see again. So I'm trying to take this time to tell people, excuse me, reach out to your loved ones, and not just your loved ones, reach out to those secondary friends that you, like, took for granted, that, you know, you only see them at work, right? Or you only see, or maybe there's a gym you've been going to for the last 5 years, and, like, there's that guy at the gym that you guys have this great gym relationship, you know? Maybe reach out to that guy. maybe reach out to those people that you just go like, you think, oh, well, you know, you take for granted that you see them all the time. Those are the people that you, because that's what I'm thinking about. So, damn, am I going to have to stop? Good grief, dude. My goodness. Okay. Anyways, let's not let what's happening in the world take away from those relationships that we took for granted, you know? That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about all of that. This is so bizarre right now. Like I said, I was prepared to just come on here, do my live podcast, talk about all these things I wanted to talk about, but I am feeling overwhelmed with emotions right now. Because now I'm thinking about my mom, and I'm thinking about, God, do I see my mom enough? You know, have I been avoiding my mom because I don't like dealing with her dementia? You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, do we like just being at home? Like, I'm a homebody right now. Like, I never leave. I got this doorbell cam now, you know, for the new place I'm at. And so, and Rachel, she has it on her phone too. So every, we get notifications when, you know, when people come to the door, even when people cross our door, you know? And Rachel says to me, like, you never leave. I'm, you know, she looks, she doesn't get any notifications because it'll say Eric because it recognizes your face, right? I like being here. I like being at home, and I love doing my Twitch. I love being on Twitch every day. I love these opportunities that I've gotten because of it. And I just go, I'm appreciating being at home, and I'm appreciating her. I'm just really loving that this part of my life. But I can't forget about those people out there who have touched my lives. And so, RIP to Jeff Scott. And my condolences go out to everybody that has lost a loved one during this pandemic, that you didn't get to see them, you didn't get to hug them and tell them that you love them. So I just really encourage all of you. Damn. Oh, my goodness. This is kind of funny to me. Anyways, I encourage everybody to reach out to your loved ones. Whew. Okay. We're going to get it together, y'all. And thanks to Hangover Candle Company. He don't even pay me or nothing. I just like this dude. He sends me these candles, and they smell good. So it's, I'm getting some Zen peace right now from the candle being here. Whew. All right. It's like, you know, it's funny because, like, as a comic, you handle things, like, with jokes and humor, even in the worst possible times, you know? But, like, right now, I don't know why going live and, like, doing this like this is, like, making me so emotional right now. But it is what it is. So, anyways, RIP to Jeff Scott. And my love goes out to everyone who has, you know, lost a loved one. All right, this is going to be weird to listen to if you just listen into the audio. You're going to be like, what the hell is up with this dude? All right, anyways, let's get to it. So, you know, I have a very weird podcast. I would like to, you know, if you've listened to me regularly, you know, my podcast is, sometimes I'll talk about movies. Sometimes I'll talk about a TV show. And then other times I'll talk about whatever's going on in the world. You know, and I get a lot of, I really love the feedback and responses I get for the most part. There are some trolls, or it's not even just like, I'm not even going to call you a troll. Some people just don't know how to communicate their point without it being a fight. You know, sometimes people don't know how to say, like, I disagree with you and this is why. People don't know how to have that sort of common sense conversation back and forth without it turning into, like, you know, you're an idiot or this and that, or assuming you understand my political leanings, because you don't. You motherfuckers don't know me like that. So don't come at me thinking I'm like right wing, left wing. Don't come at me with none of that. You don't know me like that. I like to take a common sense approach to whatever is going on. And even if I have my leanings towards, you know, one side or the other, it's very much in the middle. So please don't assume that you know me like that, you know, when it comes to that. So the reason why I say that is I want to talk about all the stuff that has gone on in the past week in a way that I just want to take a common sense approach at it. You know, I don't lean towards one side or the other. But so anyways, as we go into that, you know, so I have my notes here just to make sure. So, you know, what's the big thing that happened? So, you know, what we have to talk about, what I have to talk about is what happened with the Capitol riot, you know. And, you know, this starts first. I want to go back. People have to understand their part in this. You know, you have this guy, Trump. And I know that there's a lot of Trump supporters that actually watch my podcast because they'll send me anytime you talk about Trump. You just say the word Trump and these supporters, his supporters will attack you as if everything this dude does is good in their eyes. They just attack you, you know, whereas I'm trying to tell you, I don't look at it like that. I will criticize Obama, Biden. I criticized when it was due. When it was necessary, I will criticize. And it's the same thing with Trump. I don't have to like this dude. Now, look, when he came out, he was different. You know, when he first came on the scene to be the president, he was different. It wasn't that usual political talk. And he spoke to a people that they felt disenfranchised to. They felt left behind. You know, people act like just because you're white, everything's hunky-dory. You know, there are people out there that think, like, if you're white, people that are white, oh, they're the man. They must have everything going okay. It's not true. There's a lot of poor white people in the country. There's a lot of lower middle class people who they also have families. They also want health care. They also want good schools. They also want their neighborhoods to be taken care of. And they've just somehow forgotten. That's how they feel. They feel they are forgotten. No one knows who they are. You know, they had no one speaking for them. So this guy comes along and he says, hey, I'm going to get your coal mining jobs back. And he says all this stuff and gets them riled up. And then the other side, when Hillary Clinton was running for office, she's calling anybody that wants to vote for Donald Trump deplorable. You can't, like, what? So at the time, before we know what we know now, you can't be a Monday morning quarterback. At the time, that was terrible. That was a stupid thing to say, to alienate a bunch of people instead of trying to say, hey, here's what I can do for you. It just became a, this is what he can't do. This is what this person can't do. And just calling names back and forth and, you know, spewing out like facts that like, what are you talking about? Just tell me what you're about. Tell me what you could do better. And that's just not what happens in the political scene. So this guy comes along. He's a con artist. He's got the right words. He knows what to say. He's got a great team behind him. He's saying things like, you know, drain the swamp. And he's saying all this stuff, right? And then the left side, especially the media, and all, you know, they what do? They're just saying his name ad nauseum over and over and over and over again. You know, he wins. You know, the guy wins. And then now he's in office. And my problem with Trump has always been he's not qualified to be president. He's just not. Being a great businessman or being charismatic, that shouldn't be enough, okay? He has no diplomacy. He doesn't understand that you're the president not just for this one party, but for the whole country. This is what a lot of presidents have a problem with, by the way, but I'm just talking about the current one, all right? Again, I'm not leaning either way. I'm just saying this particular guy, he didn't have enough wherewithal in politics to be a great president. No matter what, you can list off some things that he did well, the things that benefited you, because we're all selfish that way. So if you want to talk about finances, all right, then yeah. Were our pocketbooks filled if you were in the top percentile of money? Yeah. So you go, all right, I'll forget everything else that went wrong, but this went well for me, because we're all selfish that way. But come on, listing off a couple of good things doesn't take away a bunch of the other bad things, okay? So guys in office. And then here's my problem. All of the left media, entertainment-wise and stuff, all they did was help prop him up. They think that talking about him ad nauseum every damn day was helping the situation. No. Give us some different names of people. Every time they talked about Trump, they should have talked about five Democrats that could have ran for office so we could have those names in our head. No, it was just nonstop. Trump, 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 Trump. Who's the most famous Democrat right now? Okay, you got, now it's Joe Biden, right? But we didn't want him, if you really think about it, because if we wanted him, he would have ran the last time, right? No, Bernie Sanders, who they lambasted, who they got rid of, who everybody's, oh, he's a socialist. A socialist, right? Bernie Sanders. You mean somebody that maybe would want to give every American $2,000? Is that socialist? Or is it just, hey, when people need help, we need to help them? Isn't that kind of what we're doing right now? Isn't that what's happening? Isn't everybody being like, hey, help me, help me, help me. We need more than 600. We need 2,000. And when that 2,000 is not enough, we're going to be like, yeah, give me 5,000. But isn't that what Bernie Sanders was about too? And now that's all he was saying was like, hey, let's just help the people that need help. And now that's what this Republican administration is doing. And are they socialist? Anyway, I digress. Got rid of Bernie. So Bernie's the most popular. Bernie, who? You know who should run for office? Nancy Pelosi, because that's the only name we hear about. She might be the most famous Democrat right now, just to a casual person. Casual. Just casual person. That, hey, do you know anything about politics? And they know, well, they would know Nancy Pelosi because she's in the news all the time, right? That's what we needed to do with a really good Democratic candidate. Have that person be in the news all the time. But no, SNL, all they want to do is talk about Trump. Every cold open has to be something about Trump. And then they started winning Emmys again. Nobody was watching that show. That show is like McDonald's, okay? It's just there. You go, oh, there's McDonald's. It's not good for you, but sometimes I'm in the mood for it, you know? And then here comes the McRib. That's Trump. Trump was the McRib sandwich. And then everybody's like, ooh, the McRib is here. Let's go to McDonald's. And then talking about it all the time. Late night talk show host. Like, we need another smug white guy in a suit to tell stale-ass jokes every night at 11 o'clock on all the stations. You just change the channel. It's like, oh, another white guy in a suit telling dumb jokes. Oh, let's go to another white guy in a suit telling dumb jokes. Oh, change the channel again. Oh, look. Hey, guess what, guys? Another middle-aged white guy telling dumb jokes. Then Trump comes along, resurrects all their stupid late-night shows. Now it's just Trump, Trump, Trump all the time. Trump, 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 right? Talk about something else. Talk about who you think should run. If you want to help, all they did was fuel this guy's ego. He became like, oh man, look, everybody loves me. Everybody hates me. All right. So anyway, my point is, take your own accountability and your own ownership of why you think, why this guy rose to the heights that he rose. All right, now. Anyway, I digress on that again. Here comes now this Capitol riot that happened. How do I feel about this Capitol riot? I think it's terrible. It was an insurrection. It was a planned attack, a coup. But here's the thing. You know what I find funny? Everybody's quiet right now. You know, when the Black Lives Matter movement and George Floyd, everybody had something to say. All the white comedians and all the white actors and stars who felt like, well, if I don't say something, I'm going to be considered racist. So I got to put up my black thing on Instagram and I have to say something. I have to make sure people don't think I'm racist. So let me come out and say something. Everybody had a lot to say. You know, that George Floyd tape changed our thought process, because if you were a person that really didn't think the police does stuff like that, if you were a person that was like, well, I'm sure this happens, but it doesn't happen. I don't know what your thought process might have been. But there are people that think, listen, I had my big brother for Big Brothers of America. Okay. I've known him for 40 years. All right. 41 years, actually, I've known him. All right. I remember when the Rodney King tape came out and the cops were beating the shit out of him on tape. He said to me, as a white Jewish man, he said to me, I didn't believe it till I saw that. And this was a time when there was no social media. Okay. There was no social media, nothing like that. Got lucky that was caught on tape. But he said to me, until I saw that, I didn't really believe that the cops did anything wrong. And it changed his thinking. So I would venture to say that there are still people out there that are like, well, maybe that it doesn't happen. Or come on, whatever your feelings are. When you saw that George Floyd tape and you saw that guy with his hands in his pockets and his freaking knee on that guy's neck, this guy is no threat at all at that time. that was probably a wake-up call for a lot of people, like, ugh, this actually does happen, and we should do something about it, all right? Well, to me, this Capitol riot is an example, once again, of the inequity of justice in the country. Because, listen, everybody's said this already, and you can look at, you know it to be true yourself. If those were all black people, if the Black Lives Matter movement had attacked the Capitol like that, do you think they would have been walked out like they're getting off a cruise in the Bahamas? Do you think, like, these people were walking out of the Capitol, like, waving? They could have had lays on, you know, and they should have been, you know, the cops should have been dancing and you know, oh, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to the Capitol today. That's how they were walked out of that place. Do you think that brown and black people would have been walked out of the Capitol like that? No, but no one thinks that. No one thinks that. Okay. Now, once again, now here's what you don't understand about me. When during the Black Lives Matter movement, when they were rioting and burning down Sephora's, I was criticizing that. I said it was stupid. It is dumb to loot and riot, in my opinion, especially during a pandemic. You think the cops care about your health and safety? You think that they're going to, like, let's make sure all these prisoners are 6 feet apart? No. To me, it was dumb to go looting and rioting during a pandemic. On top of, I think looting and rioting don't really help the purpose, right? That's how I feel about it. See, I was strong about that. And then I had all these people hitting me up talking about, oh, you don't understand what rioting does. You know, it helps. Where are those motherfuckers now talking about these people? See, because your same dumb justification for people looting and rioting, these people who feel that they are wronged, even if we believe that their reasons are wrong, okay? But if they feel they are wrong and this is the way they want to express their anger and get out their frustrations is to go and do this stuff at the Capitol, why doesn't the justification work for them? It doesn't work for them. Why? Because they're white? Come on. A majority of them are white? Like, don't, first of all, stop acting like just because somebody's white, they're the man. Okay? Like, the world doesn't work like that anymore. Okay? Like, if you're on the bus and you're sitting next to a white guy and you're on your way to work, that white guy, he's not the man. He's on the bus with you. You understand? This is about rich, poor, middle class. We're all separated by money now. Okay? Now, to me, the problem is, I know I'm all over the place because I'm still emotional, but it doesn't matter. This is what happens in a live podcast. So just bear with me, people. I'm trying to look over at the chat, but, you know, it is what it is. Okay? But listen, we're not separated like that. But let me tell you my opinion of what's wrong with some of the type of people that attacked the Capitol. All right, these white people who feel like they're, you know, overlooked, or that, you know, they feel like the country's being taken over. These type of people, you know what their problem is? In my opinion, they didn't get their chance to be the man. See, if you're under 50 right now. If you're under 50, let's say you're like 45 and under, let's say, right? You grew up in a time when the world changed. You didn't get to be the man. Like, if you're a 40-year-old white guy right now and you come from a family of racists, your father, he got to use the N-word whenever he wanted. Your father, he saw a time when he looked at the TV and he saw all white people. Mostly white people. He looked at the time where his sports heroes were white. His father and his grandfather, they're about Babe Ruth. They're about the baseball just mostly being white. They're about seeing white celebrities and white stars and everybody being white and like, white, yay, white people are running this place. Your time came around and you had to see Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson. You had to look on TV and see the Cosby Show. You had to see, like, you know, all of these people. You had to see people of color dominating. You had to see people of color now equal to and surpassing in some areas. You had to see the football become, you know, it's all black people now. Basketball is all black. You had to see, you now you look on TV right now and every commercial is like interracial. Every commercial is like black guy, white woman, Asian guy, you know, Spanish girl, you know. You have to see all this stuff and you're like, hey, what about us? Where's my time? where's my time to shine? Like my father and my grandfather. So they never got to be the man, and they're upset about it. They're just like, I want to be able to like walk into a restaurant and be like, I don't want this. What is this mangy mongrel? What, they can't do that anymore. You can't discriminate. And they're upset about it. That's what I think. I just think that they're mad that it passed over them. And now they have to pull themselves up from their bootstraps. Now you have to actually get an education, go to work, and take care of yourself. And it has to be on the merits of who you are and what you do. Not just your skin color, but your pocketbook and your influence and all that stuff. And they're like, well, what? I want to be the man. You got to earn being the man now. And these motherfuckers can't do it. They can't do it. They don't know how to do it. So they get taken over. Their ideologies get hijacked by people with a smarter intellect that knows how to manipulate. That's Trump. Trump's a kind of person that knows how to manipulate. But you know the sad part about it is those people will turn on Trump like this. Like, stop thinking Trump is the leader. He's just a tool. He's just a tool of those type of people. That one guy with the antlers and stuff that runs those type of like white brotherhood organizations. They're just using Trump right now because he's the one right there. But once he's gone, they don't care. Trump thinks these people love him. They don't. They just love that he's white and in power. And so they can take advantage of the position he's in. And they can use that as justification to do nonsense. But look how they turned on Mike Pence already. They want to turn on Mike Pence like this. Just because Mike Pence is like, he ain't no saint. But I believe he believes in the Constitution. I believe Mike Pence is going through something right now where he's like, damn, what did I do? And his reckoning is going to come. But I think it's going to come within himself. Listen, these people that like use Christianity, these devout people, I still feel like there is something in them that knows the difference between right and wrong, even though they've been misguided. And I think that he's coming to a point where he's like, damn, like Mike Pence must be sitting there like, what? I supported you. And you just go turn on me like this? And then you're going to have these people talk about hang Mike Pence? If I was Mike Pence, I'd be like, all right, 25th Amendment, you got to go, right? So he's going through his thing right now. So that's what he's got to deal with, right? Anyways, so now you have these people who they do this thing, and I'm not for it. Just like I'm not for people looting, I'm not for black, brown people and those type of people looting Sephora's and burning down Foot Lockers. I'm not for these people doing that, but everybody's quiet. Like all the people who were getting on me about like, hey, you don't understand why people have to loot. Where are you? Because these people are saying the same thing to you, but now they're doing it. It's crazy. All the hypocrisy. It's just hypocrisy. What happened to Blue Lives Matter? What happened to all that? Where's the Blue Lives Matter people? Where are you guys at? Because 5 cops are dead or whatever the number is. All these people that were beat up, you just were beating cops up. So Blue Lives Matter only when it comes to when it's involved with black people? Where are you guys at? I don't know where you're at now. I just want to know where are all the white people that had something to say about Black Lives Matter because you didn't want to come off as racist. Where are you? Why aren't you talking about these people that look like you? They look like you and they're out there climbing the Capitol wall. Quiet. Quiet as church mouse right now. Where are you guys? Where are all the comics that all these liberal fucks who have, you know, all these progressive liberal people who have to ad nauseum talk about what they think is right and wrong, you know, but now when the people that look like you are doing the things, now you have nothing to say. Where are you? It's so frustrating to me, man. It's frustrating. So frustrating. So here these people are, man. I don't believe in their reasons, but I understand them. I understand why these people feel like they're left behind or whatever their dumb justifications are to, you know, feel like the world is messed up and everyone's against them. And Trump, he took advantage of it, but he opened up Pandora's box because he thinks he's in control of what's happening. And I'm telling you, they're just taking advantage of the situation. So he puts out this narrative that, and listen, by the way, I'm not justifying this at all, but I understand Trump too. He just don't want to give up power. Can you even imagine being the president of the United States, literally the most important person in the world? The most powerful position in the world by influence, by everything. Why do people like that even go into politics? Citizen Kane was like this. You know, Citizen Kane, the movie Citizen Kane, Orson Welles, you made this movie. You know, it's basically about a dude who accumulated a bunch of wealth and it wasn't enough. Once somebody like that gets a bunch of wealth, you know what they want to do after that? They want to be loved by the people. They want power, because power is not with money. Power is with influence and being able to, like, that's why politics is so alluring to someone like that, right? So he goes into politics. But imagine you're the president. You've come from out of nowhere and you're about to lose. It's a grasp for power. I'm not surprised that on the day they're about to make the count, he has this sort of speech to try to, like, you know, hey, you know, rise up for me. It was an attempt to thwart the count. To me, I think that Trump was doing what he was doing and saying that stuff, so then maybe they would not do the count that day for fear of whatever. And then they would, like, it would be pushed off. I think they were also trying to get those electoral ballots, burn them, and then, oh man, we got to do this all over again. I think it was an attempt to grasp, hold on to his power, but it got out of hand. I don't care who you are. If you are a Trump supporter, please don't come at me and tell me that you think that what he did was right. Now, here we go. The other point is they want to talk about election fraud. Listen, I see somebody in the chat said Nancy Pelosi is a narcissist and a psychopath. That every single politician is a narcissist and a psychopath. I think that's a part of their personality. That's the only way you could get into politics. You got to be somebody that thinks, I know what's right, and I am, you know, I'm the one that can save, you know, whatever. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. My point I was making about Nancy Pelosi is that's the only person we know about. Like, she could have ran for office and everybody be like, oh yeah, Nancy Pelosi, I know that name. That's why they needed to get more names out there. Talk about other people right now. Instead of talking about Trump ad nauseum in your echo chamber, because that's all it is echo chambers. Everybody just saying the same thing to each other. You know, start saying other things other than Trump, 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 Trump. Tell me Buttigieg. Tell me Bernie Sanders. Tell me, you know, all the different names of people so we can get that in our head. But anyway, all right. Whew. I started emotionally and here I am on this and I'm angry about this stuff. You know, anyways. So here are these people now. They want to use the justification of this lie about voter fraud. Okay. Now listen to me right now. If you're somebody that believes this, let me put this out to you. There's a thing called Occam's razor. All right. It's a philosophical, and they use this in movies all the time and stuff. But it basically is that the premise is the simplest explanation is usually the right one. Which one of these things do you think is more plausible? Because bipartisan, I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats in these states. Republican states have said the election was fine. It wasn't rigged. The election was fine. It's not just Democrats saying that. I'm talking about in those Republican states, the Republican officials, for the most part, are saying this was a fair election. Okay? So what's more plausible? That there's some widespread conspiracy that got all of these officials all over the United States to agree to some election fraud, or the one guy in power that wants to stay in power is lying about election fraud. Which one of those things is more plausible? Like, come on. Every election has some shadiness because your people are involved. Selfish people who want to stay in power. Okay? Selfish people that want to stay in power are going to do some shady things. Unfortunately, that is in man's nature is to look out for self-interest, okay? So yes, there's going to be some you're going to find some shadiness, okay? But not 10 million votes. Like, so you're telling me that that popular vote is, like, you believe that that popular vote is false. And there, that, let me tell you something. If the Democrats had the wherewithal, if the Democrats had the political savviness to rig an entire election, motherfucker, they would have done it way before now. Okay? These people can't even agree with themselves. And you think they got the whole country and all the officials to get on their side? That's what you think. So you think that's plausible, but not that Trump's lying? Really? Really? Come on. Like, that. Use your common sense, man. It's unbelievable. So the whole premise is a lie. He just wants to stay in power. And I get it. Do everything you can to stay in power, right? He's not going to concede. You know, he wants to be king. Who wouldn't? The power of the presidency, it must be intoxicating for someone like that. Remember when he was on TV firing people? You're fired. You're fired. He loves being loved. He loves it. Okay? So why wouldn't, you know, of course he's going to do everything he can to stay in it. All right? Guys, give me 1 second here, okay? I got to blow my nose. I remember being on Joe Rogan, and he got on my case because it was live at the time. So I'm going to go away from the mic right now. Actually, I'm going to turn the mic off, and it'll blow my nose. All right? So hold on a second. Okay, and we're back. Anyways, so of course the guy's intoxicated by power and wants to keep it. And he's going to do everything he can, all right? But it got out of hand. These people are more well-organized. They knew what they were doing. They planned it out. And I'm sure there's going to be more stuff like that, okay? But these people are dumb. Can I tell you something? Listen, when you're doing a live podcast, it's just a stream of consciousness, and we're just yip-yapping right now. And this is what I do, and I actually love to do this. So, you know, if you're going to put your comments up and be like, what are you talking about? You're all over the place. Yeah, I know I'm all over the place. I don't care. You know what? Turn off my podcast then. Move along. I don't care about you. Move along. All right? So, anyways, here's the thing. All right? You know, looters. I thought it was dumb, right? When the looters for Black Lives Matter or whatever happened with George Floyd, all these people, you know what I think is really, really, really stupid about it? You're on camera. People are waving at the camera. Like, these young people of this generation, they think that they're immune to, like, law and justice. You're on camera. Like, if I own Sephora, my video footage, I'm categorizing that. I'm hiring people. All right, I need you to screen cap every single person that you can find that's in the store that you have a good picture of. And I'm putting that out there. I'm making sure that stuff is being investigated. And I'm going to make sure that those people are brought to justice. And they will do that. Trust me. We're just not hearing about it. But trust me. There was that one white guy who stole the surfboard who's on camera with no mask on, just looking like, hey, if they find that guy, he going to jail. It's the same thing with these stupid capital looters. You want to talk about idiots. I mean, idiots. These people are waving at the camera. They're filming themselves. There was like a documentary guy there filming. You're a part of it, dude. You're a part of an insurrection. That's a capital offense. I think you could get the death penalty, I think. You know, look, I'm just speaking hyperbolically right now. Who knows? But I think you're an enemy of the state. You're trying to, and you're on camera. And then these people, they think they could just fly home. These motherfuckers are on camera trying to take over the United States, trying to, like, you know, they're looting the Capitol. They're in there being violent, killing cops. And then they think they could just get their carry-on bag and go on a Delta flight home. Really, bitch? Really? You think that you could go to our government building where the vice president, the Speaker of the House, a bunch of senators, and our Congress is in session, and you think you can threaten their lives and you can get on a Delta flight home? Really, bitch? Really? Like, these people are so stupid. They're stupid, and looters are stupid. People who think that looting a fucking Sephora is going to push their agenda forward and make change are idiots. Just like these dumb white hillbilly fucks who thought they can climb over a wall and do all that nonsense they were doing and then get on a Delta flight home. These people are stopped at the airport like, yeah, this is you on video at the Capitol. That's you waving at the camera, right? Yeah, bitch, you on a no-fly list now. Like, I mean, this is the nonsense. It's the hypocrisy. That's why both sides are quiet right now. That's why a lot of people are like, The only thing we're all saying that we agree with, and you have to agree with this too. I mean, yeah, I guess you don't have to. I mean, you can say what you want. But if it was all black people at the Capitol, if it was all brown people, if it was a majority of those type of people climbing over walls, you think only five people would be dead? On their side too, by the way? You know what I mean? You think, please. We all know the truth in that situation. So that's why you also, if you're white, you're at home kind of going, oh, wow, here's another example of how justice is not the same for white people and for non-white people. It's not the same. Just even how we approach it and how we look at it, how they're categorizing, how they're talking about it on the news, how they're like, you know, oh, this, how they're talking about the cops, how they're talking about these people. It's like so, I don't understand why it feels so organized somehow of like, you know, it's not this like brash emotional attitude about it. They're really like, well, this is what's happening here. You know, they're going step by step about those people. They know who they are. And it's like, ugh, I don't know. The whole shit is a nightmare. Let me get back to my notes so I make sure I don't miss out on things that I wanted to talk about, because I'm just going in today, huh? All right. Here's something we should talk about. Let me just get back on track here. And I really appreciate everybody for being here and watching live. I appreciate you all. Let's talk about Trump being kicked off Twitter. Okay? Now, guys, Twitter is not government run. That is a private organization who sells ads. That is an organization that tries to make money. Trump did not lose his freedom of speech. The motherfucker got a press room in his house right now that he can go talk to people whenever the hell he wants. He could still have a press conference. He could still make your own app, bro, if you wanted to. Make a website if you wanted to. He could do whatever the hell he wants. He still has his freedom of speech. What he lost is his convenience of social media. It's just a convenience. It's not a right. You guys with your, freedom of speech. You know, most of you don't even know what that First Amendment even says. You can't say whatever you want. People think they can say whatever you want. You can't slander someone. You can't yell fire in a movie theater, because if you cause people to trample people because you said a lie and people die, you will be charged for that. You can't incite violence. The freedom of speech is not you can say whatever you want. These are private companies. And by the way, our forefathers, they didn't know that there was going to be internet. You know what I mean? They didn't know. The world was different when the Constitution was written. In my opinion, that sucker needs to be torn up and you need to like start over in like modern times. You know, like, you know, or use it as a foundation to be like, okay, let's modernize this. Because when they said, you know, your right to bear arms, they didn't know it was going to be guns that could kill 100 people in 3 seconds. Okay? They didn't know that. They didn't think it was going to be the way it is right now. We need to modernize these things and think about what's happening now. Should social media be a part of like what is considered the press? I think so. I think social media should be, it should fall under the same rules and guidelines. Like, you literally could say whatever you want on social media about anyone and there's no repercussions. The Washington Post can't do that because they fall under, like, they are the press. So that they have to have, like, they have to have, like, three proof that this is real. You know what I mean? They can't just write a story. They can't just say, oh, this person. But now in this era of social media, people can say whatever they want. They can ruin a man's life off rumors and conjecture. They can ruin a man's life because somebody said something. No proof, no trial, nothing. They could just say, this guy is bad because this person said it and that person said it, and no proof. And a man's life is ruined, right? That's Twitter. And it's the convenience of it. It's all on everyone's phone. So all Donald Trump lost is the convenience of reaching people. And I think, personally, I think it was wrong to ban the dude from social media for the simple reason that you want to know what your enemies are saying. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Now we're going to further fracture our country into divided sectors, because all Twitter is now is just an echo chamber for people that feel and say the same thing over and over again. You know, that's what I can't stand about, you know, progressive liberal, the liberal side of it. It's like they just live in an echo chamber. They just want to say the same thing over and over and over again to each other. You know, you look at award shows and it's just smug fucks on there. You know, I'm going to make a political statement right now. And who's listening to this? Who's watching? Because that's why the ratings are terrible, because they've alienated 70 million people who voted for Trump. If you're a Republican, you also like movies. You turn on the Oscars and you want to say, hey, let me see if my favorite movie won. And then some smug fuck is on stage talking about, like, well, Trump, Trump, Trump. They're like, okay, click, change the channel. Let's go over to Fox News, or let's go over to Max News, or let's go over to, like, let's just go watch, like, you know, let's go watch the Cartoon Network or whatever. They just turn it off. They're not even listening to you anymore. So we're not even getting, we're not even hearing the other person, the other side. I need to see what Trump's saying. I want to be able to look at Twitter and be like, let me see what this dude's talking about right now. Let me see what this dude is saying. Let me make sure, let's see what's going on. So yes, he should be punished for inciting his part of what he did to incite those people, to embolden them. Even though, guys, they already had it planned. People flew in. People flew in for this, right? They knew they were going to do something. And then Trump just helped fan the flames. You know, he should be punished for that. But I don't think you should just remove the dude completely from the platforms. But I also understand, you're a private company. You're a private company. And they ban people all the time. It's not just him. It's their right. They reserve the right to have whoever they want on their private thing, even though it reaches hundreds of millions of people. Like, stop acting like Twitter is a right. You'd rather have, people think that everyone should be born with a social security number and a Twitter handle instead of healthcare. You know what I mean? Instead of, like, now I'm just going on and on right now. Well, how much time? How long have I been on this damn thing? It might be time to get off soon. Can I just digress into something else real quick? I was looking at this Forbes list. It wasn't the Forbes list, but you know how you get on the internet and it'll be like 50 richest Americans, or it'll be some list off some website. One of the people on the list was this dude. I forgot his name, but he's worth like $12 billion. And it says how we got the money. And the guy said, it says hospitals. Let me tell you something. This is my problem with the healthcare system in the United States, okay? And maybe all over the world. Healthcare should not be for profit. It should pay for itself. It should be one of those things that we go, let's do this for our fellow man, okay? All right? Let's do that. Let's make sure our doctors are paid well. Let's make sure that those people are paid well. But somebody that owns hospitals should not be a billionaire. I have a problem with that. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why do you have billions of dollars from owning a hospital? That people that get into science, do they get into science for money? I guess I'm an optimist this way, that I like to think that people that get into science, they get in it because they want to discover things. They want to make the world better. You know, that they want to discover something, like, I want to discover a vaccine that can cure cancer. Do they do it because, oh, I want to discover a vaccine so I can sell this to everybody that has cancer and make a lot of money? Do you think that that's their main focus? I hope not. I'd like to think that that's not the reason why they're doing it. I would like to think that they're doing it to better the world. And that's what I feel like healthcare should be about. Yes, make sure the doctors are well paid. Make sure they make $1 million a year for all I care, right? But should a dude be making $10 billion off hospitals and we got people dying that can't get insulin? I just think that our priorities are all messed up in that case right there, man. I really have a serious problem with that. You know, I don't know how you feel about it, but that's how I feel about it. You know, and that takes me, you know what? I'm going to go into another subject about this. It's how I feel about the homeless as well. Guys, I'm so tired of hearing about people saying this. A buddy of mine called me. He's my financial guy. He's a financial guy. And he hit me up. We're just having a casual conversation. I love the guy, you know? And he says to me, he goes, yeah, man, I'm considering leaving LA because of the homeless problem. And I thought to myself, the homeless problem, there's always been a homeless problem. LA has always had a homeless problem. The problem now is you're seeing it. We've lived in this world of hear no evil, see no evil, say no evil about the homeless. There's always been tents. There's always been people living and walking the streets. So what's the acceptable amount of homeless people for you that you feel like, okay, that's the good amount of homeless people that I don't feel bad? Like, I'm so tired of people moving to Texas and then putting up videos on their dumbass social media talking about, oh, look at the homeless problem in LA. Motherfucker, there's homeless people in Texas and Austin too. You just don't see them because you're living in a place where you don't have to worry about it. They send them all to LA because we have enough land and the weather's great, okay? Don't act like LA's the problem. You the problem, bitch. You the problem. I'm the problem. We are the problem. Now we have to see it, and we don't feel good about it. We feel like, oh, man, because now we're recognizing that we're not doing enough to help other people. We got the homeless all over the place. People losing their lives. People losing their livelihood, and they living in their car. People who, like, maybe 6 months ago, they had an apartment and a job, and now they're homeless. And it's growing. Now it's spilling over into our neighborhoods where we're like, ooh, wait a minute. I don't want to see this. You know what this reminds me of? You know what this reminds me of? I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio. It was this movie. So where these young people went to this like beach in Thailand, you know, and they're just having a great time, having sex and having fun. Well, while they were having fun, somebody got bit by a shark and they had to like wrap their leg up. And this person is just screaming and hollering through the whole night. They're like, oh, and everybody's annoyed. Everybody's like, oh, my God, I don't want to hear that. And then they move that person to the other side of the beach. And then shortly after, everybody starts having fun again because it was out of sight, out of mind. That's how you motherfuckers are with the homeless. Y'all just want to move them to the other side of the beach. Y'all just want to put them out of your sight and mind so you don't have to think about it. But nah, man, LA's not the problem. You are. Don't sit there and act like you're doing enough. None of us are. I'm not. You're not. You know, if there's like 10 million people in California. There's 40 million people in California, right? Man, if we all just gave 10 cents a week to help the homeless problem, and there was some fund that we knew was being run strictly for housing and food and and medical care just for the homeless, we wouldn't have a homeless problem. If we knew that the money that we were putting towards it, It's not happening. And I don't know what to do. And I feel terrible about it. Well, I'm in my 3-bedroom place and I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you know, there's people that like 2 blocks away. There's tents. It's like, stop putting up your videos about LA homeless. Put up your videos about what you're doing to help the homeless. Do that. So if you move into Texas, good for you. You move into Nashville, good for you, where they got the homeless locked away someplace or they don't have them there because the weather's cold, those kind of places. Don't act like LA's the problem. All you did was go, I don't have to see it. I don't have to hear it. I don't got to talk about it. Well, you just got called out, okay? You just got called out because we're all sucking at helping our fellow man. We all suck at it, all right? I need to calm down. All right, let me see. All right, let me look at my list. All right, we talked about the First Amendment. Stop talking about Trump got his freedom of speech taken away. All right, you sound stupid. It's a private company. You know, it's a private company. All right. Yeah, I'm preachy today. So what? I'm in a preachy mood. Okay, go fuck yourself. How about that? Is that preachy enough for you? You get off my channel. How about that? I'm in a preachy mood today because I'm emotional and this stuff has been building up inside me. So this is what sometimes you have that. Okay. So I don't care about you if you feel that way. So what? See, this is what I'm saying. People don't want, you know what? I love that comment that I just got in chat. You're funny, but you're too preachy. See, that's an example of how people feel. They want you to give them the truth in a digestible way that they can accept. People are preachy. It comes off as preachy when people are saying things to you that you don't want to hear. Then they use that as a way of getting out of it. You know? Nah, man. Sometimes you have to hear the truth. In the same way, though, that I agree. I am highly emotional right now. I'm on one right now, as you would say. Okay, so let me come down from that and just to say, all I want, and I think we all want this, is we just want a better world. We want a better life for all of us. We want to be able to have conversations. I want to be able to, like, you disagree with me and I might disagree with you, but can we come to a common ground? Can we agree to disagree but still live in peace and harmony? There has to be a way to get to that point. And it has to come from our leadership, you know? Right now, it's just the country is so divided. We're just divided down economic, racial, and political lines all the time. And it's like, damn, how can we get past that so we can just make this place better? Because in the core of it, the rich are still getting richer. You know, poor people are still getting poorer. There's more poor people, you know, coming out every day. And you're worried about how I'm talking to you instead of worrying about what I'm saying. This is what we have to try to get to, guys. We got to try to get to a point where we can just have conversations. Let's have conversations about all the things that make us uncomfortable. And trust me, the homeless conversation makes me super uncomfortable. I saw this YouTube video. The guy was talking about, well, there's 7,000 or 8,000 people, homeless people in LA now. And he was showing me, they were showing, like, they were driving down, showing all the tents. And I was like, damn, dude, this is, you know, I'm like, oh, man, when that stuff's in your face, it really makes you uncomfortable. You know? And do I got, you got to tell me, y'all. And I got some, something in my nose. Anyways, you have to, see, that takes away from everything I was saying. It's hard to listen to somebody when they got, you know, a booger in their nose. But you need to ignore that and hear the truth. I know. Yeah, that's how people feel like, you know, it's like, what are you supposed to do? What am I supposed to do myself individually to help the homeless? That's the hard. It becomes daunting. Like, how do you do it? Like, do you give money and then just be like, okay, well, that's all I can do. Hey, I support a shelter. So now that absolves me from all guilt. I mean, it's hard. It's just like, it's really hard. You know, I don't have the answers. And that's why I say I'm a part of the problem. I'm not just preaching at you guys. I'm preaching at myself. I really feel bad. I'm a bleeding heart, you know? And so when you're a bleeding heart, you either do one of two things. You step up and do something about it, or you ignore it. And I've been one of those people that I've just ignored it. I just don't think about it. I just drive by the freeway and I go, oop, don't look, don't look, don't look. Or I make myself feel better by I have change in my car. And when I pull up to a freeway on ramp and somebody's got a sign, I reach into my thing and I go, here you go, buddy. And I think, whoo, that's 75 cents I just gave that guy. I'm going to heaven because of that. You know what I mean? So now what do you do? You know? And it's like, that's the thing. It's like, I don't have the answers. I'm not a politician. I'm just talking about it, you know? It's like maybe people like me who have a platform, maybe we say to everybody, maybe if it's like, if it's not just me giving 75 cents, maybe I'm saying to all of you guys, if you have some money in your car, it's money you don't need. Every time you see somebody, help. I don't know what that does, but maybe it's going to help. Maybe if enough of us do that, we won't have this situation. Maybe, if there's a shelter near you and you have extra food, give. If you have extra toilet paper because you have all that extra toilet paper from, the pandemic, give. I don't know what to do, guys. I wish I had the answers, you know. But the problem I'm really bringing, I'm not just talking about that we have a homeless problem. The thing I'm bringing up right now is we have an empathy problem that we have that the problem really is that we're not acknowledging the problem and trying to do something about it. That to me is the greater issue right now. So that's all I can say, because even right now, as I'm looking at the chat, you know, there's people that just like to be disagreeable. It's like, you know, oh, you're bringing up the problem. Now what? As if I'm wrong. So once again, we're not discussing the issue. So you're not hearing my sentiment. You're not hearing what I'm saying. This isn't a time to be fighting with me. I'm just bringing up what I feel like we need to say, is that the homeless problem is not LA's fault. It's our fault. Now, the next step is, what do we do about it? I don't know. Tell me in chat what you think we should do about it. I'm talking, you know, on the comments, when it's time for comments, you know, write your comment like, hey, maybe we could do this, or, you know, put up an organization that you think that you want to support. Maybe we just all start reaching out to, like I said, shelters and organizations and food banks and blood drives and all the different things. I think if more of us get involved, maybe that'll help curb the problem. But I don't know. Well, damn. I don't even know what to say now. That was a lot, huh? That was a lot. But other than that, just to recap, once again, RIP to my brother Jeff Scott. And my condolences go out to all the people in the Comedy Store family, all the people that, you know, he touched their lives for so many years. He was around in the Mitzi Shore era. You know, he was just a wealth of knowledge. You know, he was one of the last of the old guard of people that were there in the beginning, you know. So, you know, my condolences go out to all of us grieving today for that. And all of you, too, because you've lost loved ones during this crazy time, or you didn't get to say, or you're missing out. So remember, my main message there in the beginning is to reach out to people, even casual friends. Just reach out to people that you normally saw all the time and you kind of took it for granted because it was just part of your routine. You know, it was just like, oh, I go into, here's that person I saw every day at this, and I didn't realize I'd never see them again. You know, maybe reach out to that person. You know, use social media for good, not just for trolling. Use social media to be like, hey, you, how you doing out there? Just wanted to say hi, you know, so do that. What else? You know, hopefully we can heal from this the racial divide in our country. Hopefully we can do something about that. You know, I hope that these people that attacked the Capitol, I hope that they, whatever else they have planned, I hope that it can be squashed and there's no more violence and no more death. Peacefully protest, man. That's what the country's founded on, is people being able to protest. That's not the way. But, you know, violent protest is a part of our history. And that's what I was reminded of by people when it was black people doing it. When it was black people doing it, I had all these people hitting me up talking about, you don't know what this did to help make change. Well, okay. It doesn't apply to these people. Can they be violent to help make change? Or now you quiet. You quiet now? You don't want to say, so they don't have a point, even if their thing is not, whatever their thing is not justified. But in their minds it is. To some of those people are hateful, and some of those people are just poor. Some of those people are just people that, like, they feel like they have no voice for them, you know? I'm not saying it's right. I am not saying it's right, and I'm not justifying it at all. I'm just saying they're going to use the same justification as the other side did, too. So that's why, get rid of all that type of stuff, you know? So we have that. It's social media, too, and, like, you know, getting banned on social media. Oh, he got removed from Twitter. I don't give a fuck, okay? It's a private company. They're about making money, okay? They're not They're not for the greater good. If you think Twitter is for the greater good, you're a fool, right? None of these places are for the greater good. They're about making billionaires. That's all they are. That's all they care about. You know, if they were for the greater good, it would just be, it's not government run, okay? It's not the post office. It's a private company, and they can decide who the hell they want on their private company, all right? Maybe the rules should change. Maybe because something is so big and so many people have access to it, it should fall under some, there should be some legislation about social media now. I think there should. I don't think you should just be able to say whatever you want about anybody at any time without having some repercussions. Maybe this is, you know, maybe everybody should register and, you know, so you have your Twitter and you can't have a Twitter without having your real information on there. So people can, you can be held accountable. Then I would be like, all right, it's a right, not a privilege. All right. Yeah, here's the same stupid comment. Maybe start offering a couple of your rooms to the homeless. Like, look, do you want to, nobody's going to do that. Do you want to do that? No, that's not the answer either. You know, like what, you know what I mean? Like, well, are we all going to do that? Just ridiculous. That's not the answer either. You know, see that encourages people just to be like, hear no evil, say no evil. That encourages people to be like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this, because if that's what you think the solution is, then that makes people like turtle up. I got to turtle up and like live in my own bubble, you know? But by the way, speaking of living in your own bubble, about social media, get out of your own bubble. I think it's a mistake to ban. I think I don't like that they banned the guy, even though he should be punished for what he did. Because I do think, like, you need to hear all these voices. You need to hear them. You need to see what they're saying. Because now he's just going to go to one of those super right-wing ones, and we're never going to hear what he's saying unless we look for it. And then, once again, we're living in alternate universes where there's a ultra right-wing universe and an ultra left-wing universe, and they're saying completely different things about the same place that we're living in. That's dangerous. I think that's dangerous. So, anyways, I talked about that. You know, maybe the forefathers didn't understand. They didn't know about Twitter. Maybe we should reconsider some of the things in the Constitution and have like some real amendments that are like upgraded to what's happening in the world now. I don't know. That's how I feel about that. But I want to thank you for letting me get all this out, my venting episode of Riffing with Griffin. Thank you for being here. I don't know if I want to do this all the time. But it is what it is. Thanks for putting up with my booger. My snotty nose for, I don't know how long that was. I wasn't looking at chat enough, but, you know, I was blubbering earlier. But thank you for being here. Remember, I game every day on Twitch, Eric Griffin Gaming. So let me get my plugs out. See, even after all that, I'm still being a businessman, my damn self. See, wow, we're so self-centered and selfish. But I'm just being 100 and real about it. This is what it is. It's a podcast, you know, that is a source of income, right? So you can do both. See, I guess that's the lesson there is. You can still be about business and at the same time still be about trying to help. It doesn't have to be one or the other. That's the crazy part about it right there, I guess, I've learned from this in this moment right now, is it doesn't have to be one or the other. We can all help. We can all take care of our families and still help other people. You know, and let's look, I don't have the answer. So in the next coming weeks, let's help each other, my viewership. Let's help each other figure out some things that we could do. Let's share knowledge with each other about what could we do to help the homeless, to help this situation. Hey, this small group of people, we're not going to change the world, but we could change our world. So let's try to do that. You know what I mean? So I guess that's all I have to say for this week. And I don't know. I appreciate you being here. This has been cathartic for me. I feel that I got all that off my chest, which I normally would do on stage. So this is feels like I just got off like doing like a 30-minute power set after like some crazy shit happened to me in my life and I had to go get it off my chest. So I appreciate you guys being here. Maybe when I look back at the tape, I'm going to be like, maybe I shouldn't have said that or shouldn't have done it this way. Maybe I should have been less emotional. But I like doing it live because I stand by what I say. I do. I don't think I'm not ashamed of anything of this. So, you know, thank you for being here and I appreciate you. And just try to like listen to each other. And once again, reach out to your loved ones, your liked ones.
reach out to people just to let them know, hey, I'm thinking about you and I hope you're okay. And I'm saying this to you guys right now as you're watching me. I'm thinking about you and I hope you're okay. Thanks for watching.